Welcome to the Udacity Thought Leader Series podcast. In today's episode, Lalit Singh, COO at Udacity, discusses the future of cloud technology and its impact on digital transformation with Rahul Tripathi, CTO and VP of Customer Success at Nutanix.
Hello, and welcome to our Udacity Thought Leader webinar series. Today, I am joined with a good friend of mine, Rahul Tripathi, who is a VP and CTO at Nutanix. Prior to working at Nutanix, he spent about 20 years in general management and leadership roles in companies like HPE, Cisco, and VMware. Rahul, I'm very excited for you to join us today.
Well, thank you, Lalit, for inviting me. I'm excited to be here as well.
Rahul, why did you decide to join Nutanix?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've been 20 years in the product and technology, as you know, building various parts of infrastructure, application delivery, almost in the technology and IT space. So a couple of things from Nutanix really resonated with me. So number one was their vision. So their vision is to make cloud invisible. So this is the first company I came across which actually wants its work to be invisible, to make it so simple that people don't even notice it, which kind of strikes a chord with me, because I've seen, as a technology industry, we just throw so much at the customer, make things so complex. So a company which really wants to make things simple, kind of that vision resonates with me. The second thing was some of the cultural principles. So their cultural principle is being hungry, humble, and honest, which at this stage in my career really resonates with me, because I think we want more of the companies to be insurgents on the customer's behalf, right? Who are really fighting for the underserved customer by really being hungry, right? To do really the right thing. Being really humble, not like I know everything, you should do it this way, but basically being really learning from the customer as well as being very honest about what is possible and not. And then it's also with heart, right? So they also believe in doing the right thing, not only for the business, but right thing for people, both internal and for external. So I think that is what resonated with me too. Besides, of course, the cool products, the hyper-converged infrastructure, where they are a market leader, all the stuff they have built around Xi services, which is the cloud-based services, all the single-click upgrades and things like that they have brought into the market. So, but that was probably the third one. The first two were more culture and the vision they have in the market.
Cooler than Udacity?
I think you guys probably are more cooler than us from some perspective, because look, we are invisible. Maybe Udacity runs on Nutanix, who knows?
Yeah, if not, we will definitely sometime. So Rahul, I know that you have spent enormous amount of time when it comes to hyper-converged or hybrid cloud or in the cloud domain during your time with VMware, during your time with HPE, and now with Nutanix. Can you talk about how this whole space has evolved during the last 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, I think it's been a very interesting journey to watch unfold before your eyes. And of course, it starts getting messy technologically and with different options. But in my mind, cloud is just about agility, giving people things fast. It's all about elasticity. I want, when I want it, just give it to me, right? And it's all about sharing, so I don't want to have islands of infrastructure. But that it started with that simple notion. But along the way, I think the vendor community, the solutions, made it just way too complex. Like their religion starts evolving. Cloud should only be in the cloud, or cloud should be on-prem. But I think now where the dust has settled, that it's truly a hybrid cloud environment, right? You need a cloud-like experience in your data center, and you also need a cloud which is more of available for rent. So I think whether you look at Amazon, which started with the position that all the cloud has to be in cloud, with they doing Outpost for on-prem, Google doing the Anthos announcement, Microsoft had this position for a long time with their on-prem as well as cloud offerings. So now I think it's not a question anymore. The cloud that people want, the cloud that exists, is a hybrid cloud environment, which has the right notions of both a private side of it as well as the public side of it.
I think that makes sense. You know, when I was the COO of cloud business for HPE, and I was spending a lot of time with the customers, one of the biggest things we were doing was really working with them to identify what's the right mix. What type of workload should be in public cloud versus private cloud versus on-prem, because some of the information you may want to keep on-prem because of security requirement or regulations or whatnot. So at that point of time, the important problem that the companies were facing was that what kind of workload should I be moving to what type of cloud, if you will. What are your thoughts about what is it that IT organizations are facing, or what is it that the organizations are facing as they transition towards cloud?
I think I actually feel for the IT organizations. I meet with many of these really large customers, Fortune 100 organizations. Mm-hmm. And I think IT organizations are under a lot of kind of duress, if you really look at it, right? So still 60% of the budgets are on the run side, mm-hmm. and 40% is on the change side. And everybody wants to do digital transformation, run towards it. At the same time, they don't get any resources. So they are kind of pretty much constrained from the internal perspective. And on the external side, the plethora of options available from a technology perspective are immense, right? So how do you basically put it all together to pick the right, whether it's cloud strategy, or an infrastructure strategy, or an application strategy? So I think it's become very, very confusing in the marketplace.
So that's on the technology perspective. What other challenges do you think? I mean, are there any challenges when you think about it? It's the IT landscape, then there is a process part of it, then there is a people side of it. So in your interactions, do you see issues in other areas as well?
Yeah, I think it's a holistic thinking. So what happens is new CIO comes in, and then of course, these days it's become like nobody gets fired for having a public cloud or a SaaS strategy, right? So everybody jumps in and says, yeah, guys, you've been doing it all wrong. Let's go do it things in a certain way. But I think what many people miss then is you have not started with a question like why, right? What do you want to do? If you are an organization, you want to transform your business. What do you want to do? And then the second question is, that is the goal. The second question is, how do you get to it? And then you understand what application you want to rebuild. Maybe this is the application is better written new in a cloud native way. So where rather than figuring it out, you go for a truly a platform as a service kind of model. Whereas in some case, you just want to manage your costs and your current applications just work. So there's no point in spending time in rewriting those applications. Mm-hmm. And then figuring out the right operational model for this, right? Which I want in a public cloud environment, what I want to transform. So basically figuring that transformation part out and then putting a process around it, and then putting the people behind it, right? I think it sometimes happens in the other side, right? So first it happens is, we're gonna do this, then Mr. XYZ, you are in charge of that, and then you guys figure out, and then they figure out the technology. So now you're not getting the best of the technology leverage into what you want to do. So I think that is a big disconnect I see across many, many organizations right now.
I would like to flip it around as well. You know, now in many of the conversations that we are having with many of our customers, what we are seeing is, they said that we are able to put the technology plumbing, be it the cloud or the SaaS layer or some of the other layers like IoT or digital platform or what have you. What they are starting to say is, we can put all of it, but the problem that we are now having is how to move the employees who are in our companies to really work in that environment. I don't know what your thoughts are. I mean, as you were leading the business in the HPE side, or right now as you are part of the customer success team out here in Nutanix.
So it's very true that transformation is a people's game, right? Mm-hmm. So basically to undertake any transformation, you need to really, number one, have your people see the light, see there is a better way. And then basically take the people towards that better way in terms of upskilling them. So if I take the current example of, let's say, Nutanix, right? Nutanix is in the hyper-growth phase. So we are basically scaling big time, almost doubled the headcount in the last year or so. So here the kind of skills that the people need are more around leadership, management. So those are the skills you need to train people on. Whereas when I was at with HPE, which was like a 30-year product heritage, there it was all about, can we transform from a waterfall model to a DevOps model, right? What does it take to take our legacy software into a container environment? So upskilling all things around that to really make sure people understand it and they are able to execute to it is the key part of the transformation. Without that, people don't even know what they're being asked to do and what is the benefit of that. And that's why many of the transformations I see fail.
Yeah. I mean, I can relate to that. As you know, when I was at the HPE and when we were spinning off our software business, I was chartered to drive the digital transformation of the whole software business. And as we did that, it was about 14-month program. And we were on the same floor, mm-hmm. on the 8th floor that time. And we did a pretty damn good job of coming up with the new architecture, cloud and SaaS-based architecture. And it was going to impact all 15,000 employees in our business. And as we went live and as we were preparing to go live, we put all the training programs, right? I spent millions of dollars in putting the training program. We trained about 95% of those 15,000 employees. But when we went live, one of the biggest learning was that that training program was not nearly sufficient. Many of the employees, they came back to us, sorry, we can't operate in this new environment that you have provided in this new cloud and SaaS. We can't really make sense of it. So any thoughts about what should companies like Nutanix or any other SaaS provider or cloud provider should be doing to ensure that when their solutions are getting implemented with the customers, that the employees are able to really operate in this new environment?
Yeah, so I think taking the employees along with you to achieve the outcome mm-hmm. is super important. And it can be done in one of two ways. Right? So one is more structured upskilling or education of these employees. Right? In the example you gave, let's say you are moving from a certain, and I remember from those days, right? A lot of things got changed. For example, the way we were doing our product structures and mm-hmm. SKUs got changed, right?
Yes.
And then basically the people who are doing X, now one fine day we cut over to the new system yes. and they are doing Y. And they have not been trained on that specific thing. What they were trained on is there's a new product coming, but the specific thing they were supposed to be trained on, maybe not everybody was trained or they did not get the right skill. So it has to have a two element. One is a structured model where you are going to a new environment. What does that environment mean? What does that mean for your job? So it's a more structured, long-term kind of education. But then the second is in the moment education, because oftentimes when a product manager is trying to then structure a product on the new platform, mm-hmm. then they have probably forgotten what yeah. they learned last week or the week before. Now they need, give it to me in a quick chunk what I should do now. So I think learning has evolved from those kind of structured curriculum, let me just figure it out and do it and then learn it all. I think it has to be done more in bite-sized chunks, it has mm-hmm. to be done more in the moment, and it has to evolve along with people at the pace they like.
Yeah. I think I agree with you, and I would also like to talk about Udacity. What we do out here is, you know, the pain point that I observed when I was leading that digital transformation program was how to ensure that we give them the real life type of experience during training them. Because at the end, they have to actually drive, they have to do the actual work. So in Udacity, that's what we bring out here. What we two is, in addition to giving them the theoretical concept, we also bring in that real world practical scenarios. For example, let's say if you're going to spin up a hyper-converged environment with Nutanix at the base, then the training could be something like, you know, give them the fundamentals of the cloud, giving them the fundamentals of how the hyper-converged infrastructure look like. And before you go live, then there is a real life environment wherein they can actually do some project before you even go live. What do you think about something doing like that prior to going live?
I think it is very interesting because, as you know, my son is in high school, and that's how he learned Python, for example, right? So mm-hmm. he just did a Udacity course and just spent some time and went through a bunch of these exercises, and he kind of learned Python. But the point I'm making is this is not only for the millennials or the new age. This is as applicable to anybody in any kind of organization. So the previous model of where I'll have a lecture and I'll kind of go to lecture, then I have my lab separately, I think that does not work anymore. It's because everything is hands-on these days, especially in the cloud environment, in the software development environment. It's like what you learn, there's nothing to be learned. It's like, okay, this is what you're supposed to do, and then you want to get on and do an exercise. I think that model of learning and reinforcement is what makes a difference right now. More experiential kind of learning along the way. And that's what we see. So last week, we had our .next conference. Mm-hmm. So this is the Nutanix user conference. Mm-hmm. So we had about 6,500 people in there. And the hands-on labs that we host there were most subscribed. And that's where a lot of people wanted to go, because nothing like really testing for yourself how an environment looks like. And especially in the cloud, DevOps, technology world, I think that's the way to go. You need to have more hands-on experience and immersive learning.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. By the way, thank you for your son to do for doing the Python course out here. I think as a next step, he should do intro to machine learning or the machine learning engineer. He'll excel at that.
Yeah, I'll let him know as long as it is free and he doesn't have to pay. That's what he's happy.
We'll figure that out. So I know this digital transformation, we are at the cusp of it. The enterprise, we are probably at the tip of the iceberg out there. What do you see? How is that whole space going to evolve over the next few years as a lot more enterprises actually think about moving to the new way of running the business?
I think I was when I was driving here, I was thinking how things have evolved, right? So basically, if you really look at how your music systems used to be, right? They were in the beginning, everything starts very complex, right? People took great pleasure. I have these many equalizers and whatnot, and now you have it's embedded into your phone, right? You used to have cameras that had so many things to turn, right? Nowadays, you just shoot with your phone, right? That's what it. So I think where the technology is evolving is all about simplicity, right? It's all about technology is a means to an end. I take no pleasure in telling my kids that over the weekend I'm busy upgrading my software for my data center, right? So that's where, for example, when I see Nutanix, an interesting example, I heard that somebody actually upgraded a Nutanix cloud environment sitting on a plane through the plane Wi-Fi.
Oh, wow.
And that's the simplicity we want. So the point I'm making here is that as an industry, as a cloud community, it has to all evolve to that simplicity where, number one, application developers can develop simply, right? If you really look at from machine level to the languages like C and now how things are Python, it's all simplified. If you really look at that, it's more simple. Same thing around the cloud journey. So I think go forward, the adoption of the technology that are really simple will be the one. Second is, I think the organizations that take this transformation at a holistic level, not only technology, but the people part and the process part, will be the ones that succeed. And this will need a little bit of a long-term thinking. Right? So I think that'll happen. And to come more towards the technology side, I think, as I said, hybrid cloud is the way to go. And then you will see the applications, as you know, like everybody talks about AI, machine learning. There is true advantage of using that, right? So right now, when you try to drive a Tesla right now, you realize that autonomous driving is not that far away, right? It is pretty much, you can do it. And by taking off 10 steps that everybody used to have, like, why do I have to open my car? Why do I have to start it? Why do I have to do and lock it, right? It should know when I'm there, I'm here to drive, right? So doing those kind of things, all in simplicity, using the very complex technology, but to simplify the outcomes, whether it's for the enterprise or for the public, is going to be the way going forward, in my opinion.
Yeah. And you know, you spoke about the hybrid cloud. You know, 3 years back or 4 years back when Amazon started, they were all talking all about jumping into their public cloud, similarly Azure. When they started, they were talking all about jumping into their public cloud, Google Cloud. But I think there is a merging pattern over here, wherein everybody is trying to now create applications wherein you could actually operate in hybrid cloud environments. So I think there is some goodness in thinking about that. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think, as you said, that's absolutely right. It's good that everybody has recognized that there is no one size fits all.
Yeah.
Because IT landscape is so complex and it's been built over years, right? And we know that even mainframe is not dead, right?
That
we know mainframe, people have invested so much in the mainframe and it's there. On one hand, there is mainframe still alive. On the other hand, there are these serverless applications. So for an IT organization, this will be the landscape they have to have. And for that, they need to have multiple choices of infrastructure, applications, the way they want to run and operate. And having a model that allows for everything, a choice, right? So then you're not locked into any particular cloud or a particular hardware or particular application. It's more about choice. But then on the enterprise side, they need to be smart enough to leverage this choice. Because sometimes the choice, right, there are studies published that on a shelf, if you have whatever, 29 different options, then it actually leads to lesser sales than if you just had three options. So I think for the enterprises, they have to be really, really smart about what they want and then pick the right choices. So I think it's on both the technology side as well as the organization side, this kind of transformations are required to really get the best out of the choices that are available for the customer.
So what advice would you have for the companies who are going through this journey towards cloud or towards their digital transformation, both from people, process, and also from technology perspective?
So I think, and as you know, right, so I was quite active in driving a transformation in HPE with a large software portfolio that encompassed more than 1,500 engineering people, 50 products, $1 billion portfolio. And then in Nutanix, now I'm more engaged with the customers who want to do it. So I now see it more from that side. And one thing is very evident for me that it's the order of transformation that matters a lot. So if you don't know what you want to get out of the transformation, then just God save you, right? Because you don't even know what you're trying to do. So for example, if I reflect back on what was done in my last role, it was, we are very clear that we, over 40 years, the software, a lot of complexity was created in the software space. So the single goal was to simplify, right? So for any organization, you need to understand what are you trying to do with the transformation. That's number one. And then you basically translate that into the technology, people, and process transformation. So you're right to understand that. So in this case, we started looking at, we needed a process transformation towards Agile and DevOps, because you could not simplify till you did that. Then we understood that from a technology perspective, you had to take advantage of the new technology, which was containers. Without that, you could not simplify. And for that, then we said, what kind of organizational structure is required to meet that transformation goal? And then we said, yes, to do that at scale, you need an architecture team. You need a DevOps enablement team. And then you need to provide this empowerment in the different teams and set the incentive structure along with. So that has to be done in that way. And then the right people had to be put on those teams. But so that's one thing, right? Doing the order matters. Mm-hmm. Number two, a big thing I see is people oftentimes hire very expensive consultants and come in and let me advise me on the transformation. They don't know what they want to do. And then the analysis paralysis sets up. Till I have the full plan, I cannot execute. That is the surest way to fail in any transformation. I think once you know what you want to do, you start. And then you fix things along the way, because it is all about continuous improvement. If you don't do continuous improvement, then your transformation may actually go off track very, 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 very quickly. So I think that becomes really important. And the third thing is around perseverance, because no transformation happens, I think, in my mind, less than a year or 2 years. So what typically happens, in which I saw in my own transformation, as well as what I see across customers, first 6 months, when the change sets in, people are all nervous, right? Mm-hmm. Many people are praying, like any other, these leaders are going to go away or this wave will pass. So you have to, first 6 months, you have to hold true to, no, this is not a passing fad. It's going to happen, right? And after 6 months, then people start getting on the boat. Then actual execution happens. But 6 to 12 months, it is a mess. And people are thinking, why did we do it? Why are we doing it? It's worse than before and whatnot. And only in 12 months' time, when people start seeing the light, oh, life is so better. 18 months now, they can't believe it, how they were doing it before. So for any transformation like this in a large-scale enterprise, it's a two-year journey. And if you don't have the guts for it, if you don't have top-down mandate for it, if you don't have the resources to do it over the 2 years' time, then I think it's not even worth taking, because then you will fail. Then better continue with the current model and maybe do incremental adjustment. So that's what's important. Everybody talks about transformation, but understanding, can you even do it? And really gauging and then starting how deep you want to go. I think that's what is important for success in enterprise.
I think, Rahul, what you just said actually reminded me of the 2 years that I went through when I led the digital transformation at the software business. I mean, we pretty much went through all of those emotions. You know, the first few months, then the next 6 months were all roller coaster ride. And when we went live, everything that could go, you know, wrong actually went wrong. And then we had to really start fix them. And that's the beauty of these transformations, right? Things will go wrong, but if you have the right team, you will fix them. It actually reminds me of another parallel. It's about our life, right? We go to the undergrad school, or we go to postgrad, or then we do PhDs. We come out of it and we think that we have conquered the world. We have learned all the different tricks of the trade. You go and start working and suddenly the technology on you changes, right? So I think the concept out here is that the world is moving towards lifelong learning environment now, wherein when the technology is changed, you need to be able to adapt to that change and be able to reskill yourself. And that's where we at Udacity do a pretty good job. We call it creating fourth degree called nano degrees, wherein for lifelong learners like you and me and others, whenever there is a new technological change or tidal disruption coming our way, we can actually reskill ourselves. We can reskill our employees. And similarly, that's what I am seeing at the employees or at the employers are or enterprises are going through this whole digital transformation wave, that companies like us, partnering with companies like yours and many others, are creating the cutting edge course or nano degrees in our case that we can actually take to those employees and help them go through this change in their life.
Actually, that is very true, because I remember we were visiting a large customer of ours and sharing our transformation journey and what we did and all that. And then the CIO pulls us aside and asks the question, like, did you actually fire half of your team to get this thing done? But actually, no, because you can do it with your existing team. That is the biggest false notion I see in many organizations. They say, okay, and all these concepts like mode one, mode two, as if like there are different people for this kind of thing and there are different people this kind of thing. It's the same people. Suddenly the people who are delivered for your organization for 20 years suddenly haven't become dumb one fine day, right? So I think this notion around there are different people, let me hire different people, I think it's false. Because oftentimes what happens is you hire these people with new skill set, they have no idea about your business, and then they struggle. They are totally brought up in a totally different kind of environment. So I think the right answer is not to change the people, but to provide them the tools and the clarity around what they want to achieve, because that has dramatic effects. Because I would argue it is easier to learn. If you have learned the complex stuff, it is easy for you to learn DevOps. It is easy for you to learn cloud. There is no rocket science. If you have done low skill programming, if you have dealt with all the complex technologies of the past, this is much, much easier.
Exactly.
Right? So I think, and what happens then is, then you really have your inside team think about, I need to secure my job because somebody else is going to come in, right? Yeah. So then they are resisting the change. Versus if you really put them at ease and say, guys, we are going to do the transformation. We're going to cloud, hybrid cloud, new application transformation. But guess you're going to do it. And here are the tools. And by the way, you guys are all smart. If you have come so far, you can also do it. And yes, some people may not want to do it, but that's their choice. But I think you can just do it, dramatic results. And that's what I see company after company after company, where people have done it. They have done it with the current people. They have just upskilled them. They have been able to do very successfully. And more of the other side when I find is kind of this, let me just do it and really break everything apart. I'm yet to see any single transformation that I see succeed on that particular formula.
And I think one of the key takeaway out here also is that if you reskill your own employees, You are ensuring that those are the employees who are culturally aligned to the company. They bring all the institutional knowledge as well. And you apply the new skill, you have the best combination. Versus if you fire them and hire somebody from external, one, you do not know if they will culturally fit with your company. Second, they don't bring the institutional knowledge that the company had. It's very, very tough.
And I think the culture thing is very, very important, because I think it also sets the culture around, like, it's okay to fail, it's okay to learn, the continuous learning, continuous improvement. I think this is important, and this is what I like about Nutanix as well. Mm-hmm. So when I walked into Nutanix, they have these 12 cultural principles that are plastered on all the walls, and a few of them actually are very interesting. So one is believe in striving, which is all about continuous learn. Right, and the second one is more around be comfortable being uncomfortable. Okay. Right, so which actually culturally puts that message into the employees to really, it's okay to fail. You got to learn, right? So once you have that kind of a learning culture in an organization, that organization can do a lot. Right, that can transform itself, that can grow, that can learn from its mistakes, and this is important from a cultural perspective.
Yeah, you said. Yeah. Well, while we are talking about Nutanix, so tell us a little bit about what the key focus area for you are this year and beyond.
Nutanix has evolved quite a bit. Interestingly, it turns 10 year this year. So it's been there for a long time, although the hyper growth happened probably in the last three, four years. When we went IPO, et cetera. So Nutanix has gone through its own transformation and continues to go through its transformation. So the first phase was more about bringing a cloud experience to you, right? Mm-hmm. If you want it within your on data center, give you that experience. So that is when we started with our hyper-converged infrastructure and kind of created that category, became a leader in that category. But then as we moved along, then customers said, we want more choice. So then we were able to become a software company and offer software options on many different hardware platforms. So today we partner with HPE, with Dell. We can run on the Cisco infrastructure. And for that matter, we also run on the public cloud environment. So becoming a software company has its own transformation that you need in terms of business model, how you deliver. And now we are moving more towards offering not only the infrastructure, but whole slew of services that are required along with this infrastructure. Because as we learn, we find, for example, doing disaster recovery is very, very hard for an average customer. But why does it have to be, right? If I want a disaster recovery for my application, it should be a single-click operation. Yeah. If I want to monitor my applications, if I want to easily provide my DevOps environment to my application developers, so these things have become pretty hard, and Nutanix, we again have this thing around design is everything. So how do you design something which becomes very simple? So now we are on that journey to go after these new services. For instance, we just announced ability to partner with many, many backup vendors to do a single-click backup on an application. So we partner with many vendors at the back end, but from a customer perspective, it is invisible. They click a button, and they can do a backup and also recover. So now going forward, that is where we are going. And it really goes square in the hybrid cloud side. We also have multiple services that are being offered in the cloud in addition to our hyper-converged infrastructure on-premise. And then we are providing our goodness not only on this variety of hardware platforms, but also now on showing it on like AWS. We have already been a partner with Google. So providing a choice, making infrastructure invisible, and really providing that easy button for the enterprise so almost everyone can do it has been the goal.
Awesome. And as you may have heard, we just launched our new school, School of Cloud Computing, and we launched 2 Nano Degrees. So we are actually also getting into this cloud domain now. And I think our teams are working together to create some programs together, to create some Nano Degrees together. So I'm very excited about our partnership of working together and taking the cloud computing, if you will, to the masses. So Rahul, with that, thank you very much for joining us, and I appreciate you.
Thank you.